Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change. We still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans, are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode, storyline by storyline, character by character, as we break down the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles Rosen.
Did I say that?
Mary Mullen.
This heinous thing about the real person, and we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks crush, TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests and all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
Everybody dance now.
Okay, we are back again on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. I have to tell you, we've been doing this podcast for 103 episodes now, and this one is one of the ones that I'm really excited about because, look, Larry Mullen went into his archives. I don't know. Do you want to take the credit for this? Larry Mullen.
I had obviously stacked away some what we call the dailies, which are all the footage we shot of the day, which is going to be edited by the editors. And you select, as a producer, you select the takes you want, and the editor assembles the picture.
And if you're really upset by upset by one of the dailies, it's not Larry Mullen's collection. He just found them, right?
Yeah. No, it's just stuff I put away and probably never recycled, because normally, and Chuck knows this, you just kind of threw the stuff away. You never really thought much about it. It was all kind of recycled, and it came again in other days. If you kept it all, it would be impossible to store.
The only dailies we kept were the ones that my kids were in.
We're going to show that in a little bit.
I kept some music ones, which I guess we'll show here. I mean, I had the obviously the Stones and the Blind Boys.
I found some other dailies too, right? I found some dailies. I found another set of dailies I was surprised to find, and Pete's going to use that.
Basically what we found was the Rolling Stones, which is really an awesome thing for you actually to have, because of a moment in time in making this show, to have significant concert footage from one of the biggest bands is really awesome. And then also all the work that Luke did with Jeff King, who's going to be with us in a little bit. So there's that. There's some stuff from The Real McCoy. Larry has some stuff from season 7, which is really fascinating.
And then we're going to say right now that we kind of urged Pete that he should share this. Even though it might be a little more edgy than we'll get the warning on it, because the fact is it gives you a glimpse of what life is like in a bubble, making the pressure of primetime television and dry 30 years ago, and that's all it is. It's just a very short snapshot. It means nothing more than that.
Yeah. But also, I mean, you're getting to see how the actors work. I mean, you're getting to see the process of what that day is like for an actor. Sometimes you're the one on camera, sometimes the one you're delivering the lines. It's all going to be all edited together. The director and the producers have all broken the thing down in their minds. And the other thing is, kind of like a team, things happen. People say stupid things just to kill the boredom of the actual process, which is slow.
Wait, okay, you did it twice. I was gonna let it go, but you did it twice. I know that Larry has his friends from Canada with him, and twice he said the word process, and I go, oh, and it took me right back to the show I was in Canada in 2001. Because isn't it process or is it process?
This
is very Roy Randolph.
I never thought of it. I always think of the Canada, like when you add the extra U, like a harbor and neighbor. I always think of those things being Canadian. I never thought about that, but you could be right, Chuck. Certainly my Z is Z, that much I know. I did spend nine wonderful years there. But yeah, this should be a fascinating look at stuff, and I haven't seen it all. But I know when we found it, Pete and I were pretty excited, like finding treasure here. I definitely had saved the Rolling Stone footage because I said, this is Rolling Stone footage.
Only thing you apparently did not save is your outtakes.
I have my outtakes somewhere. I have a couple of other outtakes that were so special that I hid them somewhere and I haven't found them yet.
I'll looking for the bone. You'll find it.
It's there. I know distinctly.
Yeah.
And so you most know, of dailies, our stuff.
We were talking about dailies right as we came on. Pete, I just want to share, you know, the idea that, you know, Larry and I have had two very similar experiences. One is to know that in running the show, seeing the output from the day before was imperative. You know, I always talk about, oh, we got together in the morning and had a writer's meeting. Usually I will have already, if there wasn't a production meeting, I would have already seen dailies by that point, or tried to, or seen it dailies right after, and then comes the rest of the day. Dailies was a real important, just because you knew everything was looking good. And you know the story I've told about catching some stuff and breaking continuity and everything else. Well, that's because I watched dailies, you know, and
reorder stuff. If something was a mistake, you could reorder it done. You know, maybe you'd be on the same set. You might get really lucky.
Yeah, but also, I mean, you couldn't really could you reshoot something if you saw something that you were like, none of these takes got what we were looking for.
I only made one time reshooting, and that was in It's a Totally Happening Life. And that's because Luke had to read a line, a quote Shakespeare, and he paraphrased Shakespeare. And I told him he had to read the line as Shakespeare wrote it. And we went back to that. It was on our set. It was the next day. And he and Richard Lang did that. And Shannon, I'm not sure Shannon was, I can't remember. She went back for that, the whole scene too. But
it's happened.
The only time. Oh, yeah, and that was because of Bill Shakespeare. You know.
And also, you might also be on you might have the crew on that set that day. You might get lucky. And maybe
it was easy to do too. Yeah, that was another, you know,
without costing a lot of money.
Show, there we were. Yeah, we were there ready to do it. So,
you know, so these were actually VHS tapes.
And that's right.
As Chuck knows, because we started TV before the VHS tapes. Traditionally, staffs would watch the dailies together, like you go to like a screening room, like a little movie theater, and they project them because everything was filmed then. There was no video.
Well, it was all filmed. You went to, and you know, and you went to these theaters and these studios, because I'm talking about, for me, I was at 20, my first two jobs were on the studio lot of 20th Century Fox. Yeah,
I was on MGM.
And it was, and with Larry's MGM and my 20th Century Fox, truly was as exciting then as it sounds. I mean, these were really, because this was the last remnant of the studio system. There was hangover there. There were departments, functioning departments still there. It was exciting in that place. And one of them was the institution of going to these theaters and watching dailies. Mm. And it was a big deal, especially in the early part of it, to be there, because the network came, the studio was there, the producers were there. And in a few cases, I was only a writer in both of those experiences, but I got to go, particularly the second show that I did. And the only cool thing for 90210 fans about that experience is that the line producer of that show, not an executive producer, just the line producer, getting his first job in dramatic television was Paul Wagner. I was the story editor, but it was Paul, and we'd sit in the back. You were allowed to smoke in the back of the theater then, and we were both cigarette smokers, and we bonded there. So when Paul got,
he's talking about indoor smoking.
I know this is outrageous.
I had my pipe in the same room. I forgot how great that was.
right. And in this one case, I just gotta just call these idiots out, because they, you know, Paul and I, you'd see some footage that was shot, and it was okay. It was standard television. The line, maybe there was a good moment, maybe this, but it was pretty standard. Shot standard, acted shot, all standard. And the producers would be in the front row while Paul was on the back going, this is Emmy caliber stuff. This is Emmy. Oh, yeah, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
People smoking.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Are you ready?
Let's roll some stuff. Should we bring Jeff on and
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hop bring him in.
All right, here's our buddy Jeffrey King.
Jeff. Pennsylvania.
Charlie,
our
friend in season 5.
The episode that we have Charlie footage of is from the Rolling Stones episode, and we've covered
called, that. It's got two titles, too. Let's just give the title. One title is Rock of Ages, and the original title, I think, was That Voodoo You Do So Well, which we were afraid to use. We didn't want to give it up. We didn't want to.
I'm just so curious about that. I mean, I know now we're not talking about the Rolling Stones episode, but how did the title thing shift?
I don't know.
I sort of remember, Chuck, we didn't want to, we wrote, I think I wrote the original draft as Voodoo the Inu because we got so excited about having the Stones. But then we didn't want to tip the hand on it for some reason. So we changed to Rock of Ages. I don't know. I can't remember.
I mean, because the Voodoo Lounge thing was the name of that tour.
Rock of Ages. Yeah, exactly.
Probably the album was short. I always thought the syndicator changed it because it was shorter and easier to.
Because I remember at one point seeing that title
as Rock of Ages. I think. I think I have to look. I can't remember.
Anyway, all of that to say. All of that to say.
My all of my stuff has Voodoo on it. Rolling Stone stuff that in there. Oh, my episode has Voodoo and not the others.
So a lot of what we have is from that episode. We do have some real McCoy stuff. And as I mentioned, some season 7 stuff, which we're going to have some fun with. But
let's start with Jeffrey's stuff.
I was going to say for you, for Jeffrey, we've talked about you coming into 90210 and you got to do a lot of work with Luke.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, before we even start watching some of this stuff, you know, now that I have obviously previewed it and Larry has as well and Chuck has not yet, but there's a lot of push and pull between the two of you in some of these scenes, right? I mean, both are giving each other and feeding each other some stuff. What was it like to work with him in doing this?
You know, the biggest memory I have, and of course this is what, 25, 6, 7 years ago, but the biggest memory I have is that it was fun. It was really fun. It's like when you're working, when you're working with somebody and you're both, have in mind somehow that you're gonna try and get the most out of it, and you're both and you start to learn that you can trust each other. Then it's really becomes just great fun, and that's what I mostly remember. But I remember it being intense, and I remember it being fast and sort of aggressive and all that stuff. But that was what was so enjoyable about it.
Where were we? Where was the set for that? I can't remember.
It was some house in town. I don't remember. I can kind of see it. I can't remember where it was, but I can remember the interior to some degree.
I think it was out in Eagle Rock, right? Because it would have been close to Pasadena.
I mean, and everything you were doing was there.
Yeah. It was farther east than LA from when you were living here, Jeffrey. You know, my LA stops at Echo Park. You know, after that, I don't know what's going on.
There's some outdoor stuff also I think we have here, too. The Valerie Luke stuff is
that. We're going to get.
What I really remember about living in LA back then was the Thomas Guide. Like the Thomas Guide. And I never once got lost.
All right, so I'm going to play a clip here now. Again, listen, I don't know how long it is. If it's too long, I don't know. We're going to just watch it, and we'll see what we feel about it. And hopefully StreamYard doesn't screw us. I did do a backup plan, but here we go.
There. Action!
You need an extra pillow. Talk to Oscar, the floor man. Everybody else in this place is stonewalling you.
Excuse me?
It's just a helpful hint. I can get you cigarettes, too.
No, thanks. Nicotine's the one drug I've managed to avoid thus far. So this Oscar brings me the other pillows. Are you going to do me the favor of taking you away, or I get the pleasure myself?
Oh, come on. I give every new fish the third degree. I got a reputation to uphold.
Oh, so you know you're obnoxious?
And charming, too, you'll find. Hey, I used to be a rich brat, too.
Look, man, this is the part where you start telling me how we're going to be buddies. Everything, though, because I'm going to tell you right now, dude, I'll puke.
No, I can never be friends with anybody who shows so little respect for their elders.
Well, Elder, let me tell you, I'm in this place to get better, and you're just making me worse,
Wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Think about it, man. Because I was tough on you in there, you got stronger.
Okay. So what?
So then you got tough on me. I folded.
Yeah, now you're in my room feeling sorry for you.
No, man, no. What I'm saying is... nobody else in this place has the juice to take me on.
What, like that in there? You like that? You want me to do that?
Absolutely, man, absolutely. Look, listen. I have got to get my act together this time. I am 42 years old. And this go-round is going to be my last.
I'll do what I can.
Good. Good.
So, about that Stones cap?
Matt, are you going to start on me about this hat again?
Yeah. Can I borrow it?
Yeah, what kills you only makes you stronger, right?
Yeah. That's the idea.
Cut. Sorry, I had problems. You know what?
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
Nice. That's fun. Because you get, there's all these levels and there's all these, you get to go, you know, you just get to go one way and then you get to make a shift and you get to listen to each
that's
other.
That's a long take, too, man. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Well, it's a lot of memorization, right?
That was David Semel directing. That's a nice bit of blocking he had there for you to keep the scene going. Good.
But that's probably the wide, we would call that the wide shot, right? Yeah. So that's everything has to shot. So everything has to happen in that shot. They have to run the whole dialogue there. You know, when they push in and whatnot, they can kind of like, you know, just pick it up from here and pick it up from there. But yeah. I mean, so there is a lot of memorization there. And you guys did multiples of that master shot. So.
And see, then we would have, you know, decided which we like best and that would become the master shot. Did we say that? You know, that's what would happen.
Well, I've confessed this on the show, and it's a violation of DGA rules. I'm sorry, right, writers and directors never get along that well anyway. So directors get a cut, or used to be able to get a cut of every network show first. And I had these rapports with our editors. You know, you're doing a show, you've got your editors there, and I would tell them always they would do their cut, and I said always do the director's cut. But when you give it to me, anything that you felt really, really strongly about that should be in the cut I see, put it in. And that's so for me, the editors, unless I very rarely said, I like this take so much, I just left it to them. You know, maybe that was wrong. I guess producers today, I can't imagine Ryan Murphy doesn't tell them every single shot he wants in there, you know, from a desk somewhere.
Well, sometimes you find an editor's idea of a cut is more technically oriented than performance oriented. So you have to kind of fight that. And also you will have to protect your stars. You never want to have it. Like sometimes an editor, I'm in my experience, and I learned from Cy Shermack, doing Chips or late 70s, early 80s. Sometimes like an editor would put something in because technically, you know, it was the shot he needed, but you know, the actor was either his bad side or just was wrong. It just was going to hurt his character. And he always would beat into me, protect your stars. Don't matter what the edit is. There's a better take for performance, use it.
What's fun for all you guys to do is watch this episode and see what takes that they used, you know, because like here's a Luke take that I found really interesting, but it is the one that they used, but it comes with a whole bit of errors out of Luke. So take a look at this.
Damn. Action.
So what about that Stones hat?
What, you are still after me about the hat?
Yeah. Can I borrow it?
If it doesn't kill you, it should make you stronger. Give me the hat back.
Here we go. And after you do this one loop, give me a nice long look. And action.
So what about that Stones hat?
What, you are still on me about the hat?
Yeah. Can I borrow it?
I don't think it'll kill you. Fucking double up's mine.
What do you say, double up?
This fucking
double
up. What
do you say about double ups?
Fucking double up is mine. Yeah. But that's the line is, I think, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. And I think they do use his clip saying, it won't kill you.
It's better.
But on that note, though, I noticed that Luke does a lot of improvisation. in the lines that are written when he's challenging Jeff.
We call the handles. The handles. He had some handles to line.
He certainly.
Well, if he wanted to change lines, he was very professional, and he liked the give and take, the combat that you were talking about as the character Charlie in there, Jeffrey. But you know, he would tell me that he was going to change lines. He was a better writer. I want to beg to differ. He was a better writer than that was a nice improv. But I've always said Jason and Luke could have been in like the Groundlings. Jason could have been in the Groundlings if he went that way. He was that good of an improv guy. And Ian too had really skill there. Luke, different skills, but yes, he could improv. You know, he's a good actor. Did you do a lot of improv, Jeffrey, when you were TV shows?
No, not on TV. Because you know what? If you're the guy coming in, I mean, my experience was anyway, I didn't feel like it was my place. You know,
As a guest star.
I may be wrong. I don't know. But that was just how I felt. Uh-huh. So I didn't want to mess around with what people were doing. I thought I'm the guest here. So I should make sure.
But once Luke starts giving you some push and
But also you can change things up without changing words too. Obviously.
Thank you.
I mean, you can change nuance. You can change,
like this.
Yeah. You know, you can change the timing. I could hear myself changing the timing on him a little bit in that last
bit. Just keeping it fresh, make it happen.
Something new, you know, and so that's where I felt empowered, you know, to be able to make shifts and changes, but I wouldn't change words.
I got a question for you, Jeffrey. So I was told that that Luke was best on first takes. Now this one was a second take that we saw from him. I wonder how you feel about that. Is it fair to ask you that question? Do you have an opinion?
You know, it was a long time ago. It was an awful long time ago. I'm not sure.
I'm not an expert on that topic, but he starts to find more things to do inside every take. So whether it's, you know, at one point they get into a little confrontation. I think I have the clip and he says, asshole, you know what I mean? But he's getting under Jeffrey's skin in a different way as an actor. You know what I mean? Like, why are you being an asshole? You know what I mean? But that's obviously, they're not going to use that, but it's a way, I think, to challenge you as an actor to talk
to me. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what made it so much fun. And that continued to be fun for me anyway. All the episodes that I did, 7 or 8 or something. And it stayed that way. It stayed like, it just felt like, let's play with this. And then when you're playing, there's all kinds of possibility that can happen that you don't foresee. Right. I mean,
yes.
You don't know where it's coming from, but if you're loose enough and you're relaxed with one another and you begin to trust one another, there's all kinds of, things that can become expressed that you weren't consciously aware of until you started doing it.
For sure. All right, let's see another Jeffrey take here.
Hey, if you need an extra pillow, talk to Oscar, the floor man. Everybody else in this place will stonewall you.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's just a helpful hint. I can get you cigarettes, too, if you need them.
Well, I don't need them. Nicotine's the one drug I've managed not to get involved with thus far. So, when this Oscar guy gets here, is he gonna get you out of here, or do I get the pleasure of doing that myself?
Oh, come on. I give every new fish the third degree. I got a reputation to uphold.
So you know. You're obnoxious.
And charming, too, you'll find. Hey, I was a rich brat, too.
Cut! So, were we using two cameras then, you think, Chuck? Like, remember?
Oh, no, two cameras? Probably not. Did we do two?
Was that the same take, Jeff? Was that, or is it different from the master we saw?
I think that's a tighter shot, I think.
Well, I know that, but there could have been two cameras going, because in Double X, we did use two cameras a lot.
I think it was a different one. I feel, you know.
This was an overlay.
I thought you were playing. Yeah, I think
this was a classic over-the-shoulder shot.
Classic over-the-shoulder shot.
And I just want to explain to people out there that there was a moment, probably for me, when you actually moved and paused, that it, without having seen, knowing what the editor did with it, but, you know, the cutting scheme, that's when, in that middle part of the scene, that's when you would use it probably for a shot and a shot, you know, just to break it up before you sit down.
Take the air out.
Or maybe a shot and a shot and a shot and a shot, something like that, you know, but it's because it's the medium shots. It's the over the shoulder. So you have the wide, you have over the shoulder, and Mr. Spelling loved his close-ups. You know, I always felt that over the shoulder was about as close as I want to ever get to anybody, but people like close-ups, so
I like it occasionally. You know, Cannell loved the B-roll, the guys, everything, insert, all the hands and all the things. He'd have a separate crew that would do all that, you know.
All right, here's some more of these guys.
Wait a minute, we have a newcomer. I want to know what his problem is before we start opening our veins up.
Oh, Julie.
Actually, there's not much to say.
I guess your hat says it all, huh? Stones, man. You a junkie or just a drunk?
No, asshole, I'm a guy wearing a hat.
Hey,
why don't you relax?
Don't you tell me to relax.
Hey, take it easy, Charlie. Sit down. Sit down. You're dominating the group again. Somebody else speak, please.
Did you go to West Beverly High?
Yeah,
I thought so. I was a couple years ahead of you.
Well, isn't that sweet? Another overprivileged meltdown. Boy, I just love having rich boys for dinner.
Do I know
you? You will. Oh, yeah. We're having fun now.
Okay. Cut. Action. 180.
But that was the take where Luke says he's being an asshole.
But he's throwing the lines in there. Luke's trying to give him a good performance. He's helping him get
right.
over.
And that was a side shot. So you got off from like a
three shot.
I think they sometimes call it a raking shot. Do you get the side view of the three? And of course, we talked the last time Jeffrey and I talked, we acknowledged that was the lovely Julie Cobb.
Oh my God. I was just about to say that. Yeah. 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 Her dad, man.
It's true. And she was in my sister's class in 1965, and she was the queen of the school. And I know what those pictures look like. She was a gorgeous teenager. We could have created a character for her to be on the show for, you know, back in the high school.
I remember sitting around that day between takes and stuff and finding out, you know, who her dad was and just being blown away by that.
Yeah.
Lee J. Cobb. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, though, Jeffrey, sometimes the actor won't be the one reading the lines with you. Sometimes it's just a supervisor or something. Sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
The actor doesn't want to do it. But how important do you think it was that it was Luke doing this with you, going to the trailer or whatever?
You know, for me as the guy coming in, you know, who's just at that point, I thought I was going to be doing one episode and that would probably be it. And so it was a huge sign of respect in a way. You know, I mean. He was going to be there for me. And I, you know, that was another thing that added to how much I appreciated the whole experience. Cause he wasn't handing it off. He was playing it. He was continuing to play it. And that was really it just was part of what made it such a good experience.
Jeff, can we burn anybody? Did other actors on other shows not show up for your coverage? And let's just out some people.
Yeah, you want to ask it? I think something like that on The Flash or something, you know, or the Quantum Leap or something, you know.
Oh, there you go. Dean.
Oh, no,
Dean,
Scott Bakula. Scott Bakula.
No, I'm not saying anything.
Well, you know, I wonder in the double ups if we ever had to pull an actor because we need them in another car going to another set.
Yes, sometimes that would happen. There's no doubt.
I mean, I think that had to have happened in double ups. And the other time is, and look, it's happened a lot. The way it is that Shannon would have engagements that she would need to be released for, and she would leave as soon as she...
You're talking about interviews, things of that nature, press stuff.
Whatever it was.
I'm just trying to cover you. but I was curious for you guys, is Luke doing this with all of the guest stars that come in, or does he find a chemistry with Jeff King and says, you know, I want to work with this guy, or is it, you know, or is it hard for you guys even to know the answer to that question?
Larry, do you have an opinion? You go first.
I think Luke, loved the work. I mean, Luke would try to find who's going to be great here. How's this guy going to make this scene great? I mean, I think he had a good attitude like that. So I don't think he would
So many actors have come on this show and talked about how amazing it was to work with Luke. So yeah. I have to think that he put out this kind of effort, for all in the actor parlance and the actor moments with everyone. But I also would like to think that he really dug the character you were playing, where he was at that time. We had just finished shooting The Dreams of Dylan McKay, and it was his part, his story, it was his story arc. He was here. He had put it to be here, and to be here set against the Rolling Stones. Luke would appreciate all that. I know he liked this story arc.
It all came together.
And where he was right then, where he was going. So, yeah.
All right, I want to show some more things that don't have Jeffrey in them. So I'm going to say goodbye to Jeffrey and thank you very much for stopping by and seeing
you.
Yeah,
stay
in touch.
It was fun to look at this stuff with you, and it's really good.
Great work,
all right.
Too.
Yeah, man. All right, thank you so much, my man.
Thanks, man.
All right, it's always good to see our buddy Jeff King. I mean, I thought it was important to have him here because there's just so much interesting stuff that Luke and him did together. Okay, let's also in this episode, there is some stuff with Valerie and Dylan. And here's a take that Larry and I previewed before. And, when a take ends, sometimes the actors say some things. And it's hard to make out what Luke says, but Valerie or Tiffany is having some fun with it. How would you describe it, Larry?
I just think it's their chemistry. They have a little bit of fun with each other here. But there's a big long kiss at the end of this thing too.
In the previous two takes of this, the kiss is like brief and out. But in this take,
it's long.
It's long. So here is
long kisses. This is your specialty, Larry.
I know. At the end of the day, and it ends with a kind of a sexual innuendo from Luke off screen, and then
there's a little bit of a sharp response. There's innuendo and sharp response. Here we go.
Excellent. Let's see what we got.
When your mom asked me to go back to the house and get you some clothes, I found your stash.
Did you enjoy it?
I flushed it down the toilet.
Afraid I'll start using it again.
No. In case the police got a warrant and searched your house while you were here.
Listen to what you just said. I can't be dragging you into stuff like this, Val. I mean,
Dylan.
No, hear me out. We had some good times. I gotta do this by myself. It's the only way it's gonna work. You gotta get on with your life. Without me in it.
Yeah, I guess that's why I'm here too. To say goodbye.
No, I was talking about my son.
Cut. Ailey Mark.
It's really hard to make out what he said in the innuendo. Did you?
The innuendo, the word that comes clearest is cock.
Right. It definitely. There is the word.
On my headphones, cock. I can hear that.
I heard cock. Yeah.
But there's some playfulness going on, and she playfully throws him the bird.
Yes, I love that stuff. You have an opinion on that, Chuck?
I don't. It might have been a throwback to other conversations they had before, too.
There you go.
Exactly. How to do the scene, what they do when they're kissing.
Yeah, and all the, whatever. And, I mean, I think some, as discussed, in my estimation, the sexiest material we ever shot was make out scenes between Luke and Tiffany.
For my
5 years, there's nothing like that.
No. Which is probably why it prompted Brian to call you guys.
Oh, Brian is doing okay, baby. He's a chick.
Yeah, he's really doing amazing. All right, so Lisa says, I have so much more respect for the actors seeing it raw. And I think that's a really valid point to make, that, you know, when you see it in this sort of form, it is really something special.
Where's the Willie stuff? I want the Willie stuff.
Okay.
What else you have?
Well, everybody's dying to see Willie Lair. Right?
I do have a whole bunch of Willie stuff. So let's see here.
Here's Willie stuff for Larry right now.
Come here's on. Some. Here's Willie, some. This Willie, is just. This, no, I have two. I have two. I have two Willie things. I have Willie in the Peach Pit, and I also have Willie. Because Willie, you gave Willie a lot of lines in this episode. This is a guy that goes from having no lines ever, and then they gave him two power scenes, and he delivers important information in both the scenes. This is him telling Steve that the meeting has been canceled, and they and David Semel shot it three times. So,
there. Action.
Hey, Steve, you got a message from Keg House. In Miss Wells' office called to cancel your lunch.
Right. Fantastic.
I would be cut. That's it. Print it.
You made him do it again?
Three times, Larry. Three times.
He's working this.
That's the fourth take.
Hey, Steve, you got a message from Keg House in Miss Wells' office called to cancel your lunch.
Blah, blah, blah. The other one's better.
First one was good. Which one did they use?
First one was better.
I have no idea.
I have no idea if it's even cut.
Well, you had all the material. You had to go do the research.
Hey, Steve, you got a message from Keg House in Miss Wells' office called to cancel your lunch.
That's it. Much language, gentlemen.
You know what? He must have been in a lot of pressure because everyone on the set was watching him here because it was a big deal. He must have been giving him a lot of shit, you know?
I thought you were going to show. You know, I love that line. You, why are you always messing up?
Oh yeah, that's coming. He's got.
Well, I think I have that here too. So let's see.
Well, that's
let's
the
see.
One to show. This is
hopefully funny. This is the right one. Let's see.
Assign whatever you need me to sign. Just send it over. Don't take that attitude with me. Hey, Steve, get an attitude. All right, it's reality. It's how I feel about it.
I don't think this is the right clip. So let me dig it up.
That looked pretty good though. Why not?
Oh, I want to see. I do want to watch that clip because it gets really interesting. But it's listed as Willie, and then it's not Willie. So and I did this, so I have no one else to blame but myself on this one. Let's see. Let's just watch that and see what that is. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Assign whatever you need me to sign. Just send it over. Don't take that attitude with me. Hey, Steve, get an attitude, all right? It's reality. It's how I feel about it, so let's move on. If we stay here too long, I might start remembering how you're right hook.
considering everything, investing probably isn't something that you need to be doing now anyway, right?
Absolutely not.
All right, we're all out of sync here, guys. I'm really sorry. That's a clip that just didn't work out the right way. So but it's still very interesting for sure. Let's see. Here is.
And action.
You guys just send over whatever you need. I'll sign it. Oh, come on. Don't take that attitude. Hey, Steve, it's not an attitude, okay? That's how I feel about it. It's reality. Let's move on.
Well, everything considered, investing probably isn't something you need to be doing now anyway.
Yeah, not the truth.
So, what's this place really like? I mean, how are they treating you?
First few days called the honeymoon. After that, I mean, come on, I'm back in the B.
Let me take that money again, Charlie.
Yeah.
Feed him.
So what's this place really like? How are they treating you?
At first, it's called the honeymoon. How bad can it be?
When's the honeymoon over?
Tonight, I'm in my therapy group.
In a group therapy? You've been down that road with AA.
Yeah, but this place is different. I mean, it's throwback to the 60s. We all sit around smoking dope with no clothes on, shaving Patricia's legs, and you know what I'm saying?
Give me that line again, Joey.
Did you guys hear what he said?
No, yeah. He was making up line there because the coverage is not up.
We all sit around smoking dope,
watching someone shave their legs.
Patricia shave her legs.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. I was not
alone. It's the 60s. We all sit around smoking dope with no clothes on, shaving Patricia's legs, and you know what I'm saying?
Give me that line again, Joey.
Yeah, but this is different than AA. What we got here is like, it's like a throwback to the 60s, you know? It's confrontational analysis.
Thank you.
It was Cinnanon. Exactly. Larry and I didn't know, what was going on, so we just took Cinnanon. We went back to what we knew. The group therapy, that was like that.
A lot of the places were like that, you know. They were hard. They were heavy, you know.
Well, I was going to say, he certainly likes to have fun with
Patricia, though. Who would Patricia be?
I wanted to know who is Patricia.
Patricia be? I can't think of a crew member who would be Patricia right away. Anything ring a bell, Chuck? Patricia?
What is he referring to?
I don't know.
With somebody.
Action.
Well, first we had the Hard Rock Cafe. Next, well, it's kind of like the House of Blues, but now, now, the ultimate in late night clubbing. I'm talking about something that's soon to be franchised here. The Voodoo Lounge.
Voodoo Lounge? What after the Peach Pit after dark?
Ned, get with the program here. I'm telling you, I've got an incredible in with the Stones organization, and I'm just trying to create a little synergy for us.
How many of those smart drinks you've been chugging?
Look, ever since my father bankrolled us, he's been talking my ear off, and I gotta tell you, some of the things he's saying make sense to me.
You mean you really have a meeting with somebody from the Stones organization?
A friend of my father set up a one-on-one power lunch with a very, very sexy woman by the name of Claudette Wells.
Well, good luck, but it sounds like a long shot.
Well, so was the Panama Canal, buddy. I gotta tell you, there's one more thing.
What now?
My father wants to make sure that McKay is legally out of our late night business before we start construction.
Steve?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about this. Rush was very adamant. He doesn't want Dylan having any claims once this thing takes off.
Willie and I are going to go visit Dylan later. Come with us. We'll talk it out.
Well, I'd love to, but I got to make myself accessible to Miss Wells.
Hey, Steve. You got a message from the Cave House. And Miss Wells called and canceled lunch?
2 o'clock. See ya.
What a great take, though, right? I don't know how much of that they used.
Dave was a good director. He had nice big masters, lots of stuff going on.
Dave?
Lot of parts.
And also, you know, the one thing that good directors know, and certainly it went to a highest element that possibly can in small screen TV, with Aaron Sorkin on the walk and talks, that how much you can get by two people walking to a spot. And it's they're walking, but they're, you know, it's a great place for exposition to be able to come out, which is what he did, but you're not really focused on that because you're moving through. It isn't static in that way.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a look. I was not able to find the Willie clip, so let's just move off of it. But I want to show you this. It's Ian having, we always know Ian is so great on 90210. Here's some more stuff here.
Here we go. Action.
And just one more thing.
What now?
My father wants to make sure McKay is legally out of our late night business before we start renovation.
Steve.
I'm sorry. Rush is adamant about this. He doesn't want him to have any claims once this thing takes off.
Listen, Willie and I are going to go visit him later. Come with us. We'll talk it out.
I'd like to, but I have to be accessible to Miss Wells.
Hey, Steve. We got a message from Cake House. And Miss Wells' office called and canceled lunch.
2 o'clock?
Ian really saved it all up for his close-up, like most good actors do.
Just one more thing.
What now?
My father wants to make sure McKay is totally out of our business.
Here we go. And action!
Just one more thing.
What now?
My father wants to make sure McKay is legally out of our late-night business before we start renovations.
Steve?
I'm sorry. Rush is adamant about this. He doesn't want to have Dylan have nothing.
Here we go. Let's go.
Shit.
That's too late.
Just one more thing.
What now?
My dad wants to make sure McKay is legally out of our late night business before we start renovations.
Steve?
Rush was adamant about this. He doesn't want him to have any claims once this thing takes off.
Listen, Willie and I are going to go visit Dylan later. Come with us. We'll talk it out.
Well, I'd like to, but I have to maintain accessibility to Ms. Wells.
Hey, Steve, you got a message from Keg House. And Ms. Wells' office called and canceled your lunch.
About 2 o'clock?
Great stuff.
Oh, it's the same thing like with that we saw with Jeffrey King. This is a shot. They probably took one, possibly two things from it because it's a way station. And I think that they knew we were getting to the end. And of course, that bit you're going to end in a wider shot so you can have that fun of Matt playing with the dish rack.
Exactly. Right. All right. Here's some Claire and David.
Here we go. And action.
All right, stand by. See you later, entertainment news, take one.
Wow, I'm excited, David. In the concert spotlight tonight is the Rolling Stones' big Voodoo Lounge show at the Rose Bowl.
That's right, Claire. It's sold out, so even if you wanted to get tickets for tonight, you couldn't.
Yeah, like I'd really want to watch an irrelevant band of...
dinosaurs.
Excuse me, guys. Can you read the copy given? This is news, not commentary.
Sure. Sorry, look, just give us a second, all right? We have a couple rewrites we're going to do.
Right.
Cut! Very nice.
Bit my nail down too well, I started bleeding.
I mean, so this is some interesting stuff too. I like what you guys did with Tori or Donna's reflection in the booth, right? Of seeing you don't love that, Larry.
Not so sure. I can't remember seeing it, frankly.
I think it's in this episode.
Picture? It's in the episode. Okay. Yeah. Where are they in the radio station?
They're in the radio station.
Well, as you can see, Larry had a lot to do with the setup of the shot.
Yeah.
This is all we guys didn't have anything to do with that.
I thought it's a cool shot. And
well, that's a seminal, you know, it's a lot of, there was, you know, some for a while everybody loved working with mirrors, and then they started making fun of mirrors, and then there were ceiling shots, and then they started making fun of ceiling shots, and
yeah,
so it all is the style. You know what gets me is, here I've got all these great movies of my youth, and I tell my kids, oh, you got to see this one, you got to see this one. And, you know, they're all moved so much slower than what they're used to, what we're used to in terms of the pacing of the editing, the pacing of the storytelling. It's an unusual one that is as laconic. There are exceptions. You know, I don't think... yeah, there are exceptions, you know.
I want to note a couple things. In that clip, Kathleen whispers something to Brian, and what she says is that she bites her fingernails, and she said she bit her fingernails, so it's going to bleed. That's what.
Ooh.
Yeah, but then I ask Larry, I asked Kathleen about this, you know, about biting her fingernails, and she said that Ian always told her she'd be much prettier if she had long fake nails. Have you
the road not taken? We don't know how big she could have been if she, you know. It seems like sound advice.
Yeah,
she told me to.
That would have made the difference.
And that was the era, and I know that was the era of Lee's press on nails.
Exactly.
Which I used to advertise on late night television. Do you remember the product, Larry?
I know you're talking about.
Of course.
Jerry Mushin, my late loved brother-in-law, made Lee's press-on nails for Lee. Lee was this, but Jerry, that was what he did.
So, unbelievable. Yeah.
But while we're on this,
Kathleen was an iconic, you know, she went the other way and stuff, and that was her.
That's story. What we all love about her. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So that was
such a contrast. Not right for her.
That was very Beverly Hillsy, obviously, to have that or to.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is too, is like this was the episode. You know, it was like Rolling Stones, and that's kind of like where my Claire thing fascination started. But I wanted to kind of just say, in regards to the I do have a clip from season 7 of Steve and Claire that I want to share with you guys, because it's interesting. We're looking at Ian in this season, right? And he's having fun and he's really into the scene with Nat, but later on it does become a little bit different, right?
I mean, of a drag.
So here's this.
Well, wait a second. Let me just say, because this was kind the time in the seventh season where the cast knew we were coming to the end of college. Everyone was very concerned with what was going to happen with their future.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of tension in the air.
There's a lot of tension about where the show is going, not the characters, where the show is going, right? Like, right. Who's going to be back next season is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So shit.
Here we go. We're going to play this, and then we'll get back to some of the earlier stuff.
Ah, background working.
Right at touch.
Stick with it.
Here we go.
Hey, isn't that Cindy?
Cindy who?
Cindy Crawford. What did she ever see in Richard Gere anyway?
Oh, I don't know. Looks, attitude, cash.
Cash.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, you look real familiar. Haven't we met before?
Yeah, in your dreams.
Ouch.
Have I told you how much fun I'm having?
Can you at least try to pretend you're having fun?
Okay.
Good.
Oh boy.
So, I see. Chuck, you left. Do you wish that you had stayed to season 7 when you see some of these clips?
With it. Yeah, he kind of
I think I was even talking about this with Karen. I the idea is I should have stayed for those 13 shows, those 13 episodes with Luke. And said that, and used that to get things in perpetuity, and a big bonus for coming back and staying with the company instead of going off to Sony. I don't know if I would have survived because it turns out my artery was like had enough, right. But it just, and needed a vacation and a couple of weeks before.
I should have used fake nails. I should have had fake nails.
Exactly.
Made the difference, I could have been prettier.
Pete, you're in your 40s. Let me tell you, roads not taken are all in front of you.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. That's the truth.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. All right, I want to show you this now. I want to show some Rolling Stone stuff, but I'm going to mute the audio because right away we know what will happen with YouTube. I'll do my best anyway because I know we want to hear some of the tunes. But here is Jamie and this is an interesting one too. Because Jamie and Tori are Donna and Ray here, but they are really enjoying this Rolling Stones concert.
Right, and I was standing right behind them.
This one's good. You got me rocking.
That's JP?
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
YouTube is flagging it right now.
Really, take it off.
Well, I mean, you get the general idea. Here we have, and what's great is, like I said, I muted it for our purposes. But what's great is, like, it's so cool to see the Stones are my favorite band. So it's so cool to see them sort of doing all this stuff. And these are the multiple takes that.
Yeah.
Which I love that shot.
Well, so that was when a tie-in shot. That show that we were really there.
When they get to the end, I'm standing right there. That's why I was on that aisle next to David.
But this was so cool because that was the most important thing is that we made sure that everyone understood that we actually were really there.
Yeah.
There's the,
I mean, like,
match shot.
There is one thing, though, Chuck. You said that inevitably you did have to get footage from the Rolling Stones because you wanted to show the concert, not from the Stones themselves, but you did get a tape and it's not the actual show, but you were there shooting. And I was curious about you only have the length of the Rolling Stones show to get your shots. It's not like you have all night. So they have to do this in a certain time frame and then move on. It's not you could tell Mick, hold, we need to get Jamie here. You know what I mean? Like this is a time frame that David Semel's working in.
Yeah, I think he scouted late at night the show the night before.
They scouted the first show. Yeah, this is the second show. Nights. So they knew how to be, where to do, how to move it. It was from here that they moved down to the front.
Yeah. Started up high, then went down.
They started up in the big thing with Ian up there and Jenny, too, you saw.
I have that clip. I'm going to show that in a second.
And that's a great tie-in Jenny shot, too, from one of the upper booths, one of the luxury booths.
But it's cool to see them. But, like, one of the things that I took notice of is just, like, they're really into this. And they're really into each other. I mean, it just feels so authentic.
This is not a take. This is between takes.
That's what I'm saying. This is not a take. This is just, you know, them hanging out now, enjoying the Stones, which is...
He's just letting the cameras roll. David's letting the cameras roll here. He can maybe get something we can use.
Call from Avery.
Let's see here.
Hey, I'm just doing the podcast now, so I'll call you back.
Hey, Avery. At some point, doesn't Jamie get hit with? I'm waiting for it to happen.
Oh, yeah, right here. That's right. He gets hit with somebody.
Of course, the Rolling Stones.
They're pissed off. The fans were pissed off. We were filming.
Who wants the Rolling Stones fans once threw stuff at Prince?
Hold on a second.
Let's see.
Oh no, I don't remember that, Larry. Really?
Yeah. Hang on. It's going to happen. I think if this is
someone throws something.
Yeah.
Hang on, it's coming. Don't worry. And they're really into each other. He calls take a cut, and then I'm pretty sure it happens. Boom! There they go.
Whoa! You learn something new every day. I didn't know that.
See, all this stuff would have been like in the gag reel for a party, you know.
Totally
used for a gag reel.
Yeah, but he wouldn't let that happen. He didn't want to embarrass actors. Yeah.
Who's
that?
Because we could have embarrassed our actors, believe me. Yeah,
and we're doing that right now. So let's see here. This is Jenny, what you were talking about.
By the way, Jamie might enjoy that.
I'll send that to Jamie.
That's a beautiful shot there.
I love that she's doing this because of her modeling, her thing. She's just not
she's
that
doing her
interested.
Homework here. She's
it's also right really here. Dope because, you know, honky, it's honky tonk woman.
Yeah.
You know, and they're really, this is 94. They're on fire in this, but let's just mute it because it's for the best of the better of the show and everyone's experience. Yeah. But what I found interesting, Chuck, on our first chat when we talked a long time ago before we even did this podcast, I mentioned that Jenny did not seem to be happy in the being at the Stone show, but that's all these takes, she looks like she's having such a blast at the Stone show.
Oh yeah, no, her character is not having
a right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
she's just going there.
Oh no, the Rolling Stones. Look at they. I mean, truthfully, Brian, you could ask him this. I mean, he really was a little young for the Stones.
Sure,
and where he was, but Jenny was out from the country. She, you know, what do you get? You get the Stones. No, what? She's fine. She's not. It was cool. This was the place to be for two nights. There's, you know, no question about it. It's where all rock and roll was here.
Yeah.
You know,
all right, I'm going to just play it a little.
Yeah, lucky Tommy Vivian.
We were there.
Okay.
We were on that set. We were just below. Yeah. With Steve and Jess, I was with Steve, Jess, and Dee.
I'll send it to Jenny. I'll get it over to Jenny.
Get it to Rand, yeah, because I have to dance to honky tonk woman like that, she'll dig that now.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I think she will too. I think I've said the story before, but I always remember we took a limousine to the show with, I picked up Dee and I, and then we went to Steve and Jess and picked them up. And Steve went to get into the limousine and said, I wish we were going to a Joni Mitchell show.
Did he feel that way once he was there, or was he?
No, everyone. It was a fantastic show. I mean, he was just going crazy.
More Stone stuff. You're cool with staying a little bit longer here because there's definitely some fun clips. But here's this. Sorry, YouTube. Sorry, but here's Jason and Andrea.
Yeah,
this is what you've told me about too in our first chat, that Mick came running down and then Keith came running down, Chuck. You know what
and
I mean?
Keith wasn't supposed to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is a moment here.
We tie them together right there on the stage, as I remember. That was the
Yeah, there's shot. Me the so happy. Shot. And they get out of there. They're yelling at me. The shot's not over. Yeah, it is. Oh, no, so it isn't. Funny. Okay.
But they do eventually get better lights here. Let me just scoot this down. But this is the shot that we all remember from the episode, right? They come out. They're watching the show.
I mean,
is that in the leather jacket? Is that David Semmel there, probably? Was that who that was?
I didn't see. I have to go back.
Again, we have to remember this was part of a double up. We were doing the fire episode at the same time. That's just insane.
I believe Start Me Up is what's...
Yeah, that's me and David.
Yeah.
And here comes Mick.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to sneak it in, guys. Hang on.
Get out there.
I mean, that's Mick. Mick is doing that. He pointed to them. Mick is doing that to the show. You would think, does he know?
Absolutely. They thought that this was going to be a big selling point for them on their international tour.
Fox sponsored the tour.
You've never shared that story on the
Fox sponsored the Booty Lounge tour.
That but was you've never shared that story here on this. We talked about that on the other thing.
Sure, it helped them.
But they thought this was going to be a big international. It's going to help them when they go to Europe, is what they thought.
Right.
They never asked.
That's why they did the show, besides with Dr. Fox. And they never really asked, you know, was that a true assumption? And it was a false assumption because although we were in a, you know, 100 plus countries in the world, every country had their own contracts. So they were on different times. Only a few countries, Australia and Canada, and England were really on our time schedule.
Somebody gets bounced here too, by the way.
Yeah. Second ADs, I guess.
Someone got bounced from the
great
area.
Great fun, yeah. Boy.
But what a night for you guys. I mean, that must have been just so incredible to merge your worlds and get to.
Oh, that was my favorite night of production. And, you know, it was all like, oh, it's all going to be downhill from here. It's like when when we did the high school episode, when Commencement aired, I remember walking my dogs and saying, well, it'll never really get better than this. High school is over, you know, and it's the end of that. But, you know, in terms of production and everything else, that was better than anything, you know. It was my favorite moment was filming that. And then the day before, that when Larry was there too, was a gas. I mean, I wasn't part of the setup there that night, but...
On the topic of dailies, like, so I have a tape, right? Larry has this tape. Unfortunately, his takes are not on that. But how, I mean, it's all just based on how the days played out, right? So it's like, I think that was tape, I think I have tape one of one, let's say. So that must have been.
The script is boarded with the scenes that you can get in a day. So you have a board and all the different scenes that you can kind of shoot within a day without moving the company too much. That's what you do. You got to get about, you know, for a 55 page script, you got to get, you know, we had to get like almost 8 pages a day.
I mean, crazy. Okay, here's some real McCoy. But I pulled this because this is Jason directing, but I think he gets some like really cool shots of like their eyes. I don't know what this is for.
Do we want to do some head blinks some eye blinks?
This is for what ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
But this is Jason thinking outside the box, I guess.
The little box is called the television. That's what that little box is.
Okay, so now they're doing eye blinks with Jenny. I would love to ask Jason why. And look, they get Luke to do it too.
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, they were going to do back to back. I mean, he had an idea. And
you know, again, they were soulmates. Maybe there was something he was going to double cut in here.
I'm sure there was a connection there. Yeah.
Don't say that on this show. Brenda fans will pick it if you say that.
No. Don't say it.
All right. Let's see. I had another real McCoy thing I wanted to share. Hopefully it's the right one.
Isn't it I think I had
it. It's what is.
I know. Yeah, this is the one I thought it was. Yeah. This is throwing the stuff down.
And I hear someone snapping pictures. Why would that be?
And who is that?
I don't know.
That's snapping pictures?
Yeah, listen. Nope. When the cast shows up.
There's Larry Sellers. Larry Sellers.
That's right. That's right.
Native American.
Larry Sellers.
Jason.
Did you hear that? The snapping?
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
Drew Semmel, or maybe it could have been Luke shooting up at the people and throwing stuff at him.
Yeah. Great point of view.
This is great, though. Jenny nails it. Boom! Right on the camera.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, it's like cornhole.
just a little bit different. Yeah. That's really awesome. All right, let's see what else we have here.
Don't forget the Rosen children.
I have that. Yes, where is that? Kids playing. I have it titled.
See, I know I have Jackson and Avery on the set. Another tape of that act. Like Chuck, I saved that too. I have put that somewhere, so I have that too. So,
wait, before I show the clip of the kids, there's this other one, Larry, from later seasons here. Where the, just to reiterate the point, how different things were. I mean, we're our buddy Matthew Lawrence won't sing a Christmas tune. So here's.
Where is she? This is the gospel brunch.
Wish you a Merry Christmas.
Who's next to Jenny?
Happy New Year.
Her half sister.
Oh, that one. That's amazing. Ruth Livier.
Oh, bring us a figgy pudding.
No figgy pudding. I'm sorry.
We won't go until
this is the
we
most
get
miserable
some.
Christmas party.
We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring it right here.
Yeah, those extras really look like who's going to come out for the Blind Boys ballad.
Blind Boys. I think we have a lot of Blind Boy footage too. Did you have?
We do. We do.
Larry,
have
look at the extras in the background. What are they? What are they put the thing out at Ambassador? It was it, anybody over 80 from Pasadena? Please come.
It is Beverly Hills.
I don't know. Somebody said they want. Another, yeah, they want more Val. So I have this. I don't know what it's going to be.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea where we're going with this.
What era?
Same thing. It's the same show.
Oh, is it? Okay, here
Christmas
we go.
Show. It's a Christmas show. Gift wrap, yeah, something like that.
She said she's bored. Here, listen to this, Larry. Hang on.
Well, they're tired. They've been working.
Can you make sure table doesn't move?
And that's the Blind Boys in the background, right? There's our friend Jill Novick.
Hey, party, Val.
Oh, it's David's idea.
Oh, you're certainly filled with the generosity of the season, turning over a new leaf.
Well, maybe I am.
Maybe that should be your New Year's resolution.
No, I already got one.
Let me guess. Make Kelly's life as miserable as possible.
You know me too well.
Ow.
Well, that's a good cute. Did you write that part? That's not bad writing.
Yeah, that was an episode I wrote, yeah.
Yeah, sure, you can tell. I mean, come on. The other stuff is all this stilted duty, and then this one. Oh, that flows. Okay, you can cut that together.
I want to show another thing here of, I'm not going to show the full thing, but just to show what it looks like when a band comes into the Peach Pit after dark.
Hey, yeah.
This is the Barrel of the 80s.
Background working.
What season is this?
But then they stop music, right? Yeah, whenever they're doing the tape,
the rhythm.
Hey, isn't that Cindy?
But the point of that take was for me to show that, you know, like once you're on set, I don't know if a lot, I mean, you guys all know this, but I don't know if the fans following know this.
It's
like,
you have to hear dialogue.
You got the Bare Naked Ladies there and you think it's this performance. And believe me, you guys shot a ton of Bare Naked Ladies stuff of them actually doing lip sync performance anyway, but they do stop so the dialogue can play out, right?
Yeah. So season 7, this one or more? Which one was the Bare Naked Ladies?
Season 7. This
you
was,
worked with them, Larry?
This was a spring break episode written by Greg Plegman.
Oh, nice.
Renee B says, more Tiff Val, please. I'll share with her. Okay. Renee B, thank you for sharing it. But why can't you just share with her that she should come on the podcast? You know what I mean? Instead of the clip, get her to come on the show. All right. Let's see. Here's this.
This if was only a, me, really.
God, you know, I don't know how you kept on coming up with such ingenious stories because they were always stuck in that drawbridge, but somehow it was so unexpected and it happened every single week.
And this is where you would work?
This is a nursery school.
A daycare center. I was the first producer to provide one for my employees.
I thought you wanted a production assistant.
Well, you would be a babysitter slash production assistant. A hyphen. This could lead to bigger and better things, you know.
What, like executive babysitter?
When was this? Why don't I remember? What show was this one for? That's
this great. Is the one with the kids that you talked about.
My kids?
Oh, I don't know how you kept on coming up with such a
I think they're in the I think they're in the play in the play the play
even though it happened every week. It was so unexpected.
Let's see.
Oh. And this is where you would work.
That's Maxine.
Yes, Maxine. Yeah,
that's my
pink.
Girl, Maxine.
I was the first producer to provide one for my employees.
That's right. Stay on camera.
I thought you wanted a production assistant.
There's Avi.
You would be a babysitter slash production assistant. I think this could lead to bigger and better things.
Which is, where's Avery?
What, like executive babysitter?
There's going to be. We're going to cut here to a scene where we just get the kids playing. That's going to happen next. Who is this actor, by the way?
Mark. Yeah. Right,
action, guys,
have a good time, get crazy.
Mine,
right
there. Pan the camera, Go where it's important. Get to that hobby horse. What's the matter with you guys? There you go. There she is. Maxine.
I thought we're pushing in on
her. Studying to be a therapist in San Francisco.
Amazing.
Look in the camera, honey. Look in the camera, baby. Come on, Maxine. Who's that one girl? Get out of the frame. This is Maxine's shot. Hey, where's Avery? There he is. Panning with Avery boy.
Oh my God, look at that.
Avery boy.
He's a force. He's a major.
Janet, come on over to me.
Force. Look at him. Oh.
I mean, are all the kids, are there actors here? I mean, is it all friends of FOC? Is it all FOC here? Or friends of Chuck?
Oh, no, you're not going to get.
Yeah.
This is what our kids just jumped into the action.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they just got all right. You know,
not the one
people.
I expected. I expected the one from Hanukkah, so that was nice. I hadn't
seen
this.
Yeah, cool, right? Yeah, I mean, I thought that was pretty cool to see.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Mel won't sing. We saw all these. I think we have seen. Oh, there's a Jesse clip. Yeah, right. Let's see. I don't think it's all that important to anything, but let's see. It's a cool one.
Jesse gets the last word, as Lawrence said.
Got to give the masters some respect.
Well, I don't know their stuff that well.
Believe me, I do. My mother took me to my first concert when I was 6. I've caught every one of their tours since. I think Wild Horses was the first song I ever sang. It's a beautiful ballad.
Well, I'd like to hear you do it.
I got a better idea. Why don't we hear Mick do it live?
What? What's going on?
I think you're looking at the guy who's going to take you to your first Rolling Stones concert.
These two have a lot of fun together. Yeah, I remember when I
Jamie too. He liked that.
I love the Rolling Stones episode so much because I'm a huge fan. It's like, and a 90210 fan, so it was like everything. And Jamie was like Ray Pruitt's character was the inner Stones fan that was popping in to watch this episode. You know what I mean? We you know that there were Stones fans that were just watching 90210 because they were going to be on and. You get to live it through Ray's character, and it's super awesome to see.
Yeah, he was the Stones.
And they just happened to be home on the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. This has been great to look at some of this stuff. We're going to try to find – Larry's going to try to find some more dailies, right, and maybe do it again. But
yeah,
when
I
you
do
look,
some excavating.
But, Chuck, when you – I mean, for both of you guys, when you guys look back on some of this work, it goes to show you how much really – you know, we talk about double ups. We talk about the work, but it all seems to them like an hour-long show. You know what I mean? But it's actually a lot of work, and it's a lot of hours, and it's a lot of time, and a lot goes into it. You want? I mean, maybe you can speak on some of that.
Well, it's a lot of hours. It's a lot of work, and a lot of time goes into it. You know. But it was interesting seeing this footage. You can see that a good editor looks at that. That's the take I'll put. I'll put it here. You know, structure. They're talking to the director. The director either tells them how they were thinking because they set it up or how does it look. You know, if they're getting stuff put away and you can see it, you know, that step we used to do really quick. The reason we could do so many
assemble scenes.
The reason we could do so many is because using our Prodigy machine, some of the first, not Prodigy,
Avid.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Avid. It was the one that went out of business. Oh. I think it was called Prodigy.
Prodigy was a server. It was an early internet. AOL thing.
It's a company. It's not Avid. It's a company that went out of business. No. But they were great machines, better than Avid, quite frankly. And you could we would turn a script where in a standard show you might have 5 days, 6 days in a union contract. We would turn that around in three. Mm. We would have to. We couldn't make it. And sometimes it was like, we're going to turn around in three, and I got 1 day to edit it. I got 1 day to put the whole thing together. That's all I'm getting, you know, not to be able to sit to air and spelling the next day and send it off to the network. We had a lot of those during Double Ups, and they were our best episodes, so go figure.
Less notes.
Something that you said, Chuck, about we've had editors here on this podcast. We've had Hank on. He's great. How much does the editor get to pick the best take? If it's Hank, are you like...
In my world, Hank is an Emmy-winning editor. He was great. He did really good stuff with us. But Larry knows that the guy in our world who was our rock star in post-production was named Michael Anderson. And if you had a lineup and you said one of these guys is almost a master editor and you put six guys in a row, he'd be your fifth or sixth choice. He just didn't look like someone who was sensitive.
Right.
This man was really good. So he knew what to choose. Jerry Frizzell, the other guy, he also had real good skills. He knew what Kenny Miller would like. He knew what I would like. It was really good. So they intuited a lot. We got ahead. That's where you can, where you can make a schedule is you collapse post-production. That's why the post-production people are always complaining. They get no time. They've got to mix, in the middle of the night sort of thing. Not right. quite that drastic with us, but certainly in major movie releases, they back up right to the especially some of those getting released on Christmas Day, you're backed up. The big shows were backed up right to it to be able to deliver,
Larry, what about your experience later on with the editors?
It was just a machine. I mean, we had a very good group. I mean, it worked really well. I mean, Steve Wasserman had a lot to do with the post-production, especially after the editing things and the sound mixes. That was his thing when he was operating. And, it was always dependent on the people. But, ultimately, you were looking at the stuff yourself. I mean, that's the great thing about TV for showrunners is that you actually got to be the final say in the cut for the most part, other than Aaron Spelling of the network. But whereas film is a director's medium, TV was always a writer and producer medium.
Melissa wants to know, was Jamie and Tori a real couple at this time?
At one point they were. Not a real couple, but they went out.
I don't know.
Justina says, no, he was with Drew Barrymore at the time. So they just resolved it themselves inside the chat.
That's what attracted her to...
Drew wanted to come on the show. And I met Drew in sometime after the second season or when we were in the second season. And the mister didn't want her on our show. He took her for... a different show, right?
Larry Drew Barrymore?
I think so. But, well, yeah, I mean, that was always his... He did that with Kerry Russell. I remember that.
We were interested because, it was Drew Barrymore. I just didn't have a plot line for her. But if she was willing to come on, we could think about it.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. I think that was between... at the very end of season two, around the Golden Globes or one of those Hollywood things.
Someone asked me earlier today that in the Rolling Stones episode, and we talked about this, and I don't know if we ever got clarity on it, but there's a picture floating around of Little Richard.
He was going to do it. He was going to do this cameo at the end, and he does the cameo at the end.
I don't know. Because somebody has the picture of him in the peach set. Pit. Yeah,
on the set, Darren Martin. Yeah, Keith Richards walking into the peach pit.
Oh, well, that would have been so much better.
I have the original script.
Well, we thought at one point that they might do something like that for us, but they didn't want to.
Yeah.
We had Little Richard. I forget why we worked it in. I knew that I wanted Little. I thought that Little Richard would be really good in. I always thought the one that we did when in season three when they. But you remember Little Richard coming in, Larry? So
he's on the set. So I'm confused by it.
I don't know. It's murky to me. I don't know.
Did you replace Keith Richards with Little Richard?
No, I think the scene's cut. I think the scene
It's not in the episode.
Well, we wanted to have like a post scene, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's just we didn't have it. Yeah,
and it didn't work so well. You know, sometimes it doesn't work.
The episode's great.
I remember writing an apology letter to him and his management company.
Little Richard.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Because you cut it.
Use it. You know, yeah. Little Richard, for God's sakes.
Jeez. I mean, how did you do this?
I mean, you know, come on.
Dear Lord. All right, this is great, guys. This is a lot of fun. We could probably talk more about this forever, but I think we've covered quite a bit. So I want to thank you guys for this week's episode. We will be back next week, I'm sure, with something else to cover. So we will see you all next week. Thanks again, everybody.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, bye, everybody. Hang on, and broadcast.